The English language is full of words that mean beautiful things, like love and baby, and words that sound beautiful regardless of their meaning, like serendipity or loquacious. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about the most beautiful words in the English language and how we define beauty in language. Patricia O'Connor will be here. She is the author of many books about the English language and the proprietor of the website grammarphobia.com. We also want to hear from you. What words are music to your ears? Call us at 866-780-9100. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we're going to talk about the most beautiful words in the English language. And our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here. She's the author of many books about the English language, including Woe Is I, and the proprietor of the blog grammarphobia.com. Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And we also want to hear from you today. We want to know what your favorite words are, maybe because of their meaning, maybe because of their sound, maybe because of both. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Pat, this conversation was inspired by a list that I saw of somebody's 100 most beautiful words in the English language. And these kinds of lists have been popular for some time, haven't they?
Oh yeah. In fact, every few years somebody publishes a new list of the 10 or 25 or 100 supposedly most beautiful words in English. And in fact, 80 years ago in 1932, Wilfred Funk, who was of Funk and Wagnalls, the dictionary, he published the firm's list of what they thought were the 10 most beautiful words in the language, having regard for both sound and meaning. And those words were dawn, hush, lullaby, murmuring, tranquil, mist, luminous, chimes, golden, and melody. They're all pretty words. There's something, I think, a little bit, twee, about lists of words that people like just mainly for their meaning, because you end up with words like love, mother, heaven, lullaby again, and sure they're good words, but they after a while they become a little sweet, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm more interested, I think, in words that are beautiful for their sounds. I think they're more interesting from a linguistic point of view. Now, this most recent top 100 list that you mentioned has all the predictable ones and a few more. Now, some of the ones on this list have shown up on almost every list for the last 50 years or so, like serendipity and tintinnabulation. Some aren't so familiar, like allurophile, which means a cat lover. Now, in my opinion, only a cat lover could love a word like allurophile, which frankly doesn't have a very pleasing combination of sounds, I don't think. Now, neither does bucolic, which is also on this new list.
Right, which to my ear is not a very pretty word either.
Right, but it has a pretty meaning, conjures up images of the countryside, fields of flowers, and so on. But let's face it, the sounds are sort of bumpy and not very nice. But for some people, a beautiful word is one that means something beautiful to them, like bucolic or allurophile or love, all of which are on this latest list. Or like Dorothy Parker's two favorite words, check and closed. But for other people, and I'd include myself in this category, beautiful word is one that's musical and has a pleasing blend of sounds.
So,
some words satisfy both camps.
Of course, Pat, you know, as we will be talking about all hour, I'm sure, you know, beauty is in the ear of the beholder in
sure.
this case. But are there some sounds that are known to be more pleasing when you put them together for people?
Well, I think M's and R's make for pleasing sounds. Also, O's is the most sonorous vowel. And I think generally the vowels, when they're more open-mouthed rather than long, like, for instance, ah is more sonorous than a, as in a laurophile. but, again, you're very right. You're right. It's very subjective. It's not quite as subjective, I think, as things that just mean beautiful things. But there are words that satisfy both groups, like tranquility, diaphanous, epiphany. They not only sound good, but they have emotional associations that make them seem beautiful. And I think that you... I think you mentioned on the station's website Henry James's two favorite words were summer, afternoon, and those are very beautiful sounds. They have M's and R's, you'll notice, and O's, and beautiful sounds. But no doubt the meaning also made them beautiful to Henry James. But there are words that are just beautiful for their sound, and they don't particularly have beautiful associations. Many people over the years have commented on the phonetic beauty of the word oleomargarine, for example. And you have to admit, it does have a nice sound, oleomargarine. The words float off, or the sounds sort of float from one to the other. And another example is Chevrolet, the name of the car, Chevrolet. It's a nice name. It's not like Oldsmobile. It just floats right out of your mouth. It's diaphanous, you might say. But I think the most famous beautiful word, beautiful for only its sound, is cellar door. Now, many British and American writers have said they considered cellar door either the most beautiful or one of the most beautiful words in English. And I agree, it's a gorgeous blend of vowels and consonants. It has a nice rhythm, too. It has the sonorous O, it has the R, it has a nice sibilant at the beginning, cellar door. And it's a pleasing combination. The consonant R, by the way, blends with so many other letters, even other consonants. So we don't mind the bumping of the R and the D, cellar door. Although I might say that in a British accent, you don't have that problem. As the British have pointed out, it's more like cellador.
Right.
J.R.R. Tolkien, the fantasy writer, was a linguist, and he loved cellar door, and so did writers like H.L. Mencken, George G. Nathan, C.S. Lewis, Norman Mailer, and some others have commented on the euphony of it, the musical quality of it, and it's even been said that it was a favorite of Edgar Allan Poe. I haven't found any proof of this, but there are a couple of Poe fanatics who've claimed that the refrain from Nevermore from The Raven was chosen by Poe for its similarity to cellar door. I'm not claiming that's true, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it's a lovely urban myth. I'm not,
right.
I'm not sure that's real.
We know that Poe did pay a lot of attention to sound effects. He was the one who invented tintinnabulation, which means the ringing of bells. And that often appears on lists of favorite beautiful words.
Well, we've mentioned this list of the 100 most beautiful words in the English language that I saw and that I sent to you. Mm-hmm. And we have just posted that on our Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at those 100 most beautiful words in the English language, you're welcome to. And, of course, make comments as well. And you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Sarah's on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Do you have a favorite word to share?
I do. My favorite word is the word defenestration.
Oh.
What does it mean?
It means to throw somebody out of a window.
Yes, she's quite right.
So it doesn't have a beautiful meaning. How did you come by this, Sarah?
I first learned this word when I was reading a fantasy book. I read it during reading Belgrath the Sorcerer by David Eddings, And it's cropped up in both college and beyond. And I love the sound of it. The meaning is, while it does not have a beautiful meaning, it is fun to put into conversation and to try to use in daily use. And I have just found it to be a fun word that is great to say, and people look at you funny when you say it. It's just very fun.
Yeah. That's
great. You
probably
don't get a lot of chances to use it for practical purposes.
Unless
you say, I put my pie on the windowsill to cool, but it got defenestrated. I mean, it got bumped out the window.
I was once asked by my mother, who is kind of fun in her own way, to provide her with the biggest word that I could think of for her quality evaluation at work. And so I gave her the word defenestration, and she used it in her quality evaluation so that her bosses would ask her what it meant.
That's very fun.
Smart.
Thank you so much for calling, Sarah.
Thanks for taking my call.
And Pat, defenestration doesn't meet some of the criteria that you were talking about earlier about the soft vowel sounds, etc., but it's certainly fun to say.
It's a fun word. Now, I think you could have a whole list of just fun words. Now, there's one on this list that I didn't think belonged in a list of beautiful words, but it's fun. And it is, where is it? It's petrichor, P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R, petrichor, which is the smell of earth after a rain. Now, I've always noticed that smell myself. Don't you love it? Especially if you're in the woods.
Yeah, definitely.
The smell of earth after a rain.
But it isn't to my ear a beautiful word.
No, it's not a beautiful word, but it's nice to have. You know where you have those contests like, is there a word for this? Well, there is a word for it. Now, propinquity is another one that's fun. It's along the line of defenestration. It means nearness or proximity. That's on this latest list. I don't think it's particularly beautiful, but it's a fun word.
It is fun to say, and it is funny how sometimes there's something that's so beautiful that has just the wrong word for it. For example, for me, hoarfrost is one of those, because hoarfrost is so very beautiful, and it just sounds terrible.
Yeah,
but we can talk more about beautiful words in a moment. My guest today is Patricia O'Connor, and that's what we're talking about this hour, the most beautiful words in the English language. She is the author of many books about the English language, and also the proprietor of the blog GrammarPhobia.com. This is Talk of Iowa.
Dog and love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and with me today is Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of many books about the English language, including Woe Is I. She also has a blog, GrammarPhobia.com, and today we're talking about the most beautiful words in the English language. The number to call to join our conversation is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Pat, because you mentioned that so often the words that we think are beautiful are also words that mean beautiful things, I was trying to think about words that don't mean beautiful things that are also beautiful, like sorrow. Sorrow to me is a very beautiful word. Although
sorrow is a very nice word. It's I think if you Googled poem and sorrow, you'd probably find thousands of poems with the word sorrow in it, just because it's so sonorous and beautiful. It also has that sibilant sound at the beginning and the open O sound at the end, which both of those show up in a lot of favorite word lists. But there are interesting words that don't necessarily have a beautiful meaning, like I was just thinking a moment ago, penumbra, which is an not only interesting, but I think it's kind of a pretty sounding word, penumbra, which means a half shadow. What's another one? Gossamer. It's not necessarily a pretty idea, although it could be.
Mm-hmm.
This list has several words that are pretty just for their sounds, but you wouldn't think of them as particularly nice in their meaning. For instance, erstwhile. I don't think erstwhile has very good sounds, but it's not that musical, but it's an interesting word.
Right. One of the ones that I mentioned in the Billboard, the beginning of the show, is loquacious, which is a word that I love, although it has been applied to me in a not very complimentary way. But we have a number of callers on the line. Jim is on the line from Spencer. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi. I love the language. I love poetry that employs all the nuanced words that people don't ordinarily run into. I think that really gives it a lot of color and description that, you know, ordinary poetry doesn't have. And I have my list of funny words. I think, you know, everybody, I think, in writing is challenged to come up with their 100 funny words, and they're all so different. I like those, like didgeridoo. But beautiful word, I guess one of mine on the top of my list would be shampoo.
That is a beautiful word.
I like sympathy,
mm-hmm.
Things like onomatopoeia, which I think mm-hmm. is beautiful in its own way.
Uh-huh.
Serendipity, calypso, I think is a very nice
calypso
word.
Calypso is nice.
Yeah. So,
you
I
know,
like what
umbrella,
you're doing.
Umbrella, I think, is a pretty word, and it, mm-hmm. for an ordinary thing. My two favorite words, just for sound alone, are celery. Which I don't even like celery that much, but celery, I like the sound of it. And I like spatula.
Spatula's great. Yeah, I love
really... They both
really
have to do with food, you'll notice.
I like the monosyllabics. I think you're into, like, a lot of words, your more beautiful words seem to have maybe two syllables, but very simplistic.
I like some two syllables, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And you said you like monosyllabic words, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, onomatopoeia, for example, but, you know, just...
That's multisyllabic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jim...
I'm sorry. Yeah, multi. Yeah.
I was trying to think of monosyllabic words, which, like, grace.
No.
Grace is a beautiful word, though.
I can suggest one. Moon.
Oh, good.
Eudora Welty loved the word moon, and I think it is a beautiful word. It's, I wish I could remember what she wrote about it, but she said it was something like it was spoon-shaped... And it sort of fills your mouth when you say it, moon. It's a lovely word.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling. And spoon is also pretty nice.
Spoon is nice, yes.
Victoria is on the line next from Ames. Hi, Victoria.
Hi. My most beautiful word is quite a mouthful. It is honorific habilitudinitatibus.
Now, can you say that again slowly?
Honorifica bilitudinitatibus.
And what does it mean?
It actually only appears one time that I'm aware of in Love's Labor's Lost, and it is supposed to be a clue, from a man called F. Bacon, and it's rumored to be a word that he just threw into the play as a sign that Shakespeare was having help with some of his work. And I love to use it on young children when they repeat every word you say. I like to say honorific habilitudinitatibus. And then instruct them to go read Love's Labor's Lost. They should have an appreciation for that sort of language.
Oh, that's wonderful, Victoria. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's sort of along the lines of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Mm-hmm. But and certainly it would be fun to say if I could say that one. Maybe I'll work mm-hmm. on that later. Tim's on the line next from Ottumwa. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
What's your favorite?
I hope I'm saying it right because it's been many, many years since I've even said it, but I learned it in high school in a biology class, but medulla oblongata.
Oh, yes. The thing that hangs down at the back of your throat. Isn't that what
okay.
that is?
No, I think it's in the brain.
It's in the back of the brain? I
right.
think it is.
Oh! I was thinking it's that little thing that
you were thinking of
your uvula.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
I remember, Tim. I remember learning about medulla oblongata too, and I remember singing it because we all loved that word so much. We made up some silly little song so we could just sing it over and over.
I don't know if it's fair to use Latin terms, however.
It's just cheating a little bit. So many of our words come from Latin. I think it's fair.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Tim, thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next up, we've got Jay on the line in Ames. Hello, Jay.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I actually just rolled into Ames, so good timing. My word is actually a made-up word. It came to me in a dream last night, and for the life of me, I can't remember anything about the dream, but this word is stuck in my head. It's a portmanteau of select and activate called selectivate.
Selectivate?
Yes, and I can't think of a definition, but I guess a proper definition would be to choose an option and to engage the function of that option.
Oh, Have you looked it up? Does it really exist?
I don't know. It just came to me in a dream last night, and I've been rolling it around in my head. I was doing some writing earlier, and it just kind of got lost in the slush, but I heard your show on the radio, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll call in and share that story.
You can spread the word there. I just did a Google search, and I do see that some people use selectivated and selectivation.
Okay, so
but
maybe
I don't have
else.
No, I don't. And there's selectivate.com, but there's no definition for it that's showing up. So
yeah, it's not in the American Heritage 5th edition, which just came out. But it may be one of those. It often happens that when people want to extend a verb like select, they just add. Suffixes to it, and this sounds like one of those, selectivate.
Well, you could be at the start of a trend, Jay.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not really looking towards that. I just, you know, weird dreams and all that. So,
all right, well, thanks for sharing. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
Margaret's on the line next from Waterloo at 866-780-9100. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, good morning. Not a favorite word, but one that slides off the tongue, definition aside, is lascivious.
Oh, yes, lascivious. It doesn't have a very nice definition, but it's a nice-sounding word, lascivious.
But I would take exception to cellar door. Celery is fine with me, but the hard-crashing D in door... It's as though you actually run into the door when you're saying the word.
Oh, yeah. You do
door.
Have the crashing syllables, R and D. I always felt that R, when R was one of the two consonants, it worked better than if it were, say, a T and a D or something like that. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
And again, as the British say, they don't have that problem. Cellador.
Thank you. I'll keep listening.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And lascivious reminds me of another one of my favorites that, again, doesn't have a nice meaning, but it's so fun to say, and that's solipsistic.
Oh, yes. Because solipsism is not a very nice thing.
No.
It's a nice word.
It is.
You know, another word that I like, we were mentioning moon, is lagoon. Lagoon is, I think, a very beautiful word. It's sort of along the lines of shampoo.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds are nice.
Even though I think lagoon probably appears in more poetry than shampoo. But
yes, probably.
Next up, we've got Randy on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Randy.
Hi there. I'm calling in because this is not only, a nice-sounding word, it's my favorite word in the English language, and the word is quotidian.
Hmm.
And the reason it's my favorite word is because, to me, it sounds exactly the opposite of what its definition is.
Right.
You know,
it's not a word you use daily.
Right.
But it means daily.
Exactly.
Right.
So
right.
It means mundane, every day.
Right, every day.
But it does sound fancy.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
though.
It's a nice word, though.
So, Randy, because this is your favorite word, does that mean you use it daily? Have you turned quotidian into something that it means?
No, because I think if I did that too much, except in my own family. It might sound pretentious. But,
yeah.
But once in a while, I might slip it in, into as I'm speaking, but not usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Randy, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
And we are talking about the most beautiful words in the English language today. My guest is Patricia O'Connor. And we've been talking a lot about a list that inspired this conversation of the 100 most beautiful words in the English language. We have put a link to that list up on our Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at it, you can. And, of course, feel free to agree or disagree. And we want to hear about your favorite words. You can send us an email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can call us at 866-780-9100. We have a couple of emails that have been coming in. This one is from Earl in Ames, and I don't know how to say this either. So maybe you know, Pat, but he says he likes the word orthopy, O-R-T-H-O-E-P-Y, and he says he's never heard it spoken, so he doesn't know how it's pronounced.
Orthopy.
But I looked up the definition, and it says it means, this is ironic, the doctrine of correct pronunciation within a specific oral tradition.
Well, orthography is spelling. So I thought it might have something to do with spelling, but I guess not. Orthopy.
It's an interesting word. And then John from Marion says he's always liked the word fortuitous.
Yes, yes.
And again, that's a word that sounds just like what it means to me.
It sounds like fortunate, and it is more or less. It's accidental, but it's used more to mean a happy accident than an unfortunate accident.
Right. I would put it right there next to serendipity, which I also like.
Yeah. You know, I think this list is a little odd, though, this list of 100, because there are things on here that I really can't see why you would think the word furtive was a beautiful word. I mean, it means shifty and sneaky, which isn't very nice. And also, it doesn't sound very nice, furtive. And gambol. To skip or leap about joyfully. That's cute, a cute idea, but gambol is not a very pretty word. So I think people were submitting things to this blog that they just thought were interesting words rather than beautiful. So I think people should keep that in mind when they read it.
Yeah.
In other words, the management does not necessarily agree with what's in this list.
Patricia O'Connor does not endorse this list. It's just a conversation starter.
Right.
All right, Bethany is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
Hi, what's your favorite?
Well, I have two favorite words, and it's interesting that you've mentioned cellar and celery, because one of my favorites is celerity.
Celerity?
Yeah, celerity, as in Shakespeare's celerity of thought, quickness.
Right. Tell us what that means.
Yeah. Well, Shakespeare's using it to suggest that the scene in Henry V, the scene is going to move quickly, mm-hmm. as quick as you can change your thoughts. And so I like the word celerity.
Yes. Okay.
And my other word is kind of opposite of that. It's languorous.
Oh, yes. That's on this list. Or languorous.
Oh, is it?
Languor is on the list, but I think languorous is better.
I agree. Languorous is more beautiful.
Yeah.
I like it because it's what I do on a summer afternoon when I have nothing else to do.
And summer afternoon is beautiful, too.
It is. Exactly.
Oh, Bethany, thank you so much for your call. And, you know, Pat, that makes me think, when I was looking at this list, too, I was thinking about the word love, which is a very beautiful word. But on this list, the word lovely is not there. And I think lovely is even more beautiful. There seem to be these little things we can do to words that enhance
right.
their beauty.
Right. For instance, I noticed this Wilfred Funk's list from 80 years ago had murmuring on it. And murmuring is nice. But I noticed this list has murmurous. Now, I think murmuring is, or even murmur, is better than murmurous. Murmurous, to me, I don't know. It seems to sort of wreck the sound of it to end it with that O-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, this is really subjective.
It's true. To each their own. We have a post from Judy. She says her favorite phrase is generosity of spirit, which I'm guessing primarily for its meaning, although it does have a lot of S words show up a lot on these lists.
Yes.
And then a fun word that she likes is conundrum.
Yes. Conundrum is a good word. Sort of like penumbra.
Right. Well, we will get to
an
more
umbrella,
right?
Words.
We will get to more of your favorite words in just a moment, and you can give us a call at 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guest today is Patricia O'Connor. You can find her on the web at grammarphobia.com. This is Talk of Iowa.
You're just too marvelous for words like glorious, glamorous. In that old standby amorous, it's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough. Tell enough, I mean they just aren't swell enough. You're much too much, and just too very, very to ever be.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm here today with English language expert Patricia O'Connor, and we are talking about the most beautiful words in the English language, and we'd love to hear from you as well. The number to call is 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Wayne is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. One of my favorite words, I won't vouch for its beauty, but one of my favorite words is the word priggish, which I read a definition one time that I always liked. It said that excessive concern for the precise meaning of words to the annoyance of everyone around them.
but not a beautiful word, though, Wayne.
No, I'm a pastor by profession, and so I do a lot of public speaking. And one of the things I've noticed over my years of doing so is that if I can ever exchange a Latinate word for an Anglo-Saxon equivalent, it always sounds so much better and has a much greater effect on the audience.
Oh, I agree with that completely.
Give me an example.
That's one of my hobby horses.
Like in church lingo, there's a word imputation, for example, but the Anglo-Saxon equivalent is reckon, and there's just a, you know, you just can't put the two together. There's no comparison. The Anglo-Saxon wins every time.
Yeah, it's not only shorter, but they're generally more forceful, don't you
exactly
think?
And if the audience understands what you're saying, that's a better way of communicating, too, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. And there's just an earthiness to it that and it just really resonates. But, mm-hmm. Anyway, I really love the show, and I enjoy your program. Thanks so much. I'll let you go.
Thanks a lot for your call, Wayne. Next up, we've got Susie on the line in Ames. Hi, Susie.
Hello. I'm calling because I have always found one of my favorite words, because it is so melodious, I find it so beautiful, is Shenandoah.
Oh, yes. You know, that happens to be on this list. And it struck me that I think it's the only place name that's on here.
Oh.
And place names have cropped up sometimes on lists of beautiful words. I'm sorry. It's not Shenandoah. It's Susquehanna.
Oh, okay.
I think
Shenandoah
is
after the river in
more melodious than Susquehanna, even.
No, I agree with you. I think Shenandoah is much more melodious because every vowel sound is cushioned, or every consonant is cushioned by a vowel. With Susquehanna, you've got the S-Q, squa.
Yeah.
Now, I like the ending, Hannah. But Noah is just as beautiful. Shenandoah. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Well, and you know what, Susie? One of our producers here, Alex Hoyer, said that he thinks Iowa is such a beautiful word. He was talking about that earlier. So I guess Shenandoah, Iowa must be pretty much the most beautifully named town ever.
The Lodius capital of the world.
Right.
They should have a billboard with a couple of musical notes on it. Most melodious
Perfect.
Town
Thank you
in
very
the
much
world.
For the program.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Susie. Next up, we've got Kyla on the line in Oxford. Hi, Kyla.
Hi. Thank you. I try to give my cows and horses melodious names, and I like the sounds of S, N, L, J. So the cows' names start with S and the horses with J.
Mm-hmm.
And cellar door is a little bit harsh for me, but it's pretty close because I have a heifer named Sonador.
Oh.
And her twin sister's name is Sana Lee. And I try to give them names that are start the same as their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
The mother's name is Sonel.
Ah.
And I once had a cow named Shenandoah.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Give us a few more examples, Kyla.
Well, the horses start with J. And for horses, you need a call name, which should be two syllables.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my horses is Jocasta. I named her that because
beautiful.
She had a sad face, but she's called Joka.
Uh-huh.
And another one I named Jubilee because I wanted a happy-sounding name, but she's called Juby.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling, Kyla.
You're welcome.
I love Jocasta.
That is beautiful. Next up, and Jubilee, that should be on somebody's list.
Great
because
name.
It's a wonderful word, too. It just sounds as happy as it is.
Now, why isn't that on this list?
Well.
That should be here.
There were only 100 spots.
Yeah, well. Right. You take off Inglenook and put on Jubilee.
Martha is on the line from Mason City. Hi, Martha.
Hi there. My word is mellifluous.
Beautiful. It's not only, it's sweet sounding, but it means sweet sounding.
Right.
Yes, I think that's why. It's my 12-year-old granddaughter's favorite word. Oh. And I've come to appreciate it just as much because of that as how beautiful it is. My other favorite word is nebulous, meaning kind of dreamy or cloudy. Thank you so much. Oh, I've enjoyed listening to your show.
Thank you, Martha. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dan sent us an email. He says he likes elbow.
Elbow.
Yes.
Hmm. And I've never heard anyone admire elbow before, but
And then John sent us one. He says, parsnip is a lovely word, I think. Concise, a nice combination of consonants and vowels, and it means something delicious.
Yes, it does. I cooked some just last week. Roasted them.
Emma's on the line now from Cedar Falls. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Hi, what's your favorite?
It's a name from my story that I learned when I was about 10 years old. It's Icky Sticky Stombo, No So Rombo, Hattie Batty Bosco, Ikanon Nuanon Conorana Tombo.
And you've got it right there on the edge of your tongue at all times.
Yes, I learned that. Oh, that's, I'd say how long ago it was, but it was a story about two brothers, one with that name and the other name, other boy was named Jip. And, they fell in a well. So you know who survived when they went running around asking for a ladder to get the boy named Icky Sticky Stombo No So Rombo, et cetera. So the moral of the story was to have a long life, you needed a short name.
And you must have practiced this so much, Emma.
I have. I've used it for different things all through my life, and now I use pieces of it for passwords on computers.
Don't tell us which pieces.
Right.
Emma, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
That fits again into the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of category
right,
of words today,
I think. Right, nonsense words.
Right.
Right.
All right. Next up, we've got Richard on the line in Jessup. Hi, Richard.
Hi. This is really my wife's favorite word. It's alfalfa.
Alfalfa?
Alfalfa. Then you put fresh cut with it, and that just kind of conjures up all sorts of summertime memories, to me anyway.
Wow. You know, I hadn't thought of alfalfa, but that is truly a beautiful word. You'd think coming from Iowa, that would have popped into my mind. But
a beautiful word and a beautiful alfalfa. Smell.
Yes, alfalfa.
Then you, in fresh cut, that smell just automatically comes to me.
Oh.
And you know, in the summer, especially after a rain, when it's, you know, you just get that aroma and stuff. I mean, if you're from Iowa, you really learn to appreciate that.
Yeah, you get that petrichor, which is the smell of earth after rain.
Right.
There you go.
Richard, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up, we're going to go to Kirk from Iowa City. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. What's your word?
My word, I love it because it's beautiful. It's meretricious.
Meretricious.
Meretricious. It sounds very complimentary. Wow, that was very meretricious of you. But meretricious means like a prostitute. And I just think that's hilarious that you can tell someone, wow, you are so meretricious. And they'll be like, oh, thank you. And, you know, I'm waiting to use it. You haven't had a chance yet? Not yet. Somehow it doesn't come up very often.
Yeah, well, that's fortunate. Actually, it's not limited to prostitutes. It's actually, I'm looking it up right now. Meretricious. Meritorious. Well, now I can't find it. It's not in this latest dictionary.
Oh, no. Oh, Kirk, you've missed your opportunity.
Oh, gosh.
I guess so. Wow. Did it fall off of the English language?
It has more of a negative meaning than just being a prostitute.
It says tawdry and falsely attractive.
False. There's a falseness about it. So a meretricious argument is something that's a false argument, for example.
Or superficially significant is another meaning. So
yeah. I know why. I was misspelling it. It's M-E-R-E.
Yes.
Not M-E-R-I.
Oh, good. Kirk, you're not out of luck. You still have the chance.
So it can be vulgar, but it can also be false. But no, that's a good word. That's one that you can stick in, and someone would never know you were insulting him.
Exactly. and it still sounds pretty. So
yeah.
Kirk, thanks a lot for your call. And we have an email from Lena, who has one of what I think is the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful names in the English language.
Lena,
My favorite words tend to be place names found throughout the Midwest that come from Native American words like Wapsipinicon, Potawatomi, and Minnetonka.
Uh-huh. Those are beautiful.
Definitely.
Now, in Connecticut, where I live now, a lot of the place names are also Indian. Chippewa, Naugatuck, I can't think of anyone, Wikipimi. So there are a lot of those. But I think the ones in the Midwest are prettier sounding.
Well, she didn't mention the Nishnabatna, which is one of my favorites.
Well, they can't all be winners.
Oh, come on. Sean is on the line from Waterloo. Hi, Sean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This has been so much fun to listen to, by the way.
Oh, great. What are your favorites?
I have a couple of words that I really like because of how they sound and they mean something. And then there's one that I heard that, honestly, I thought it was made up until I got older. But the two words I really like are clarity and precise,
mm-hmm.
because they sound exactly kind of the way they are. They sound like
ice.
A shining diamond or a shining ice cube. Clarity.
Yes, you're right.
Precise. They have that sharp but clear sound to it.
Yes.
And the other word that I thought was actually made up, but absolutely love, is doppelganger.
Oh, yes. A German word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming from a good German like me.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
Sean,
England
thanks
is,
a lot.
English is a Germanic language, so a lot of our words are based in, well, they come from the same source as the words that are now modern German. But doppelganger is a really good one.
not necessarily beautiful, but a lot of people don't think that the German language is that beautiful. Again, this opinion not endorsed by Iowa Public Radio or
no, or me. I like German words. I think they have a lot of consonant blends that we're not that familiar with, like sht and things like that. But I like words that are enunciated in the front of the mouth. They seem to me, to use the last caller's favorite words, more clear and precise. That's why I like Italian. I think Italian is a prettier language than French, where the words are more in the back of the throat. But again, German is another word that's in the, another language that's more in the front of the mouth, or it mm-hmm. seems that way. It's called guttural, but somehow I don't think of it as guttural.
Paul is on the line next from Fairfield, another beautiful place name. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. I was listening to your program, and a couple of related words that came up that really seem to flow is ova and ovarian.
Mm-hmm. They do.
But while I was thinking about it, my mind wandered, and I thought it'd be nice to have a star system named after Ovaria, or the Ovarian star system, where the USS Enterprise goes.
Yeah, it could be egg-shaped.
Egg, there you go.
Yeah.
The birthplace of many stars.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Paul, thanks a lot. Next up is Randy in Iowa County. Hi, Randy.
Hi there. Three words, all starts with P. Pasture, prairie, and in the Czech language, it's Perdel. You're setting on your Perdel.
Ah.
All right.
So there was no foul language there.
Right. I'm on board with pasture and prairie for sure.
Yes, yes.
We have a couple other callers on the line. We're almost out of time, so let's do these quickly. Joe is on the line from Waterloo. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Real quickly, this is from a poem, and I don't know what the poem is. It's called, the line goes, "The bougainvillea spilled over the salmon-colored walls of the sin." Mm. I'm not sure what the poem is, but bougainvillea, I wasn't really up on flowers. I just like the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely evocative, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Real quickly, David White, one of my favorite poets, when he reads Rilke or Goethe in the German, it's mm-hmm. just beautiful sounding.
Yes.
Send it to your listeners.
Well, yes. Then, Joe, thank you so much for your call. And we'll take Donna's call. This will be our last call of the day. Donna from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your favorite?
My husband does this. Never heard of people doing this before, having a favorite word, but his favorite word right now is occipital.
And this is our second part of the brain that made the list today.
Well, yeah, it's part of the skull. And as you say, it rolls off the end of the tongue. And then as a mother of young teens, I find myself frequently saying, oh, awesomest. So I think I made that one up.
You're not the only one, I'm sure. Oh, Donna, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
And we are out of time today. Patricia O'Connor, thank you for being here today.
Oh, I've had a lot of fun. Thanks.
Yeah, this has been great fun. We got an email from Wendy who said, today I'll write a very romantic short story using all of these words. Pat, thanks a lot. You can find more from Pat on her blog, grammarphobia.com, and she's also the author of many books, including Woe Is I. And let's go out today listening to a few more beautiful words.
Hi, Bert.
Oh, hi, Ernie. Hey, I've been sitting here trying to think of what we could do with this here letter L.
Oh, well, let's see. You know, one thing, you could sing sort of a la-la-la song with the letter L.
What do you mean?
Well, there are all kinds of pretty words that begin with L. You know, you could sing a few la-la-las and some pretty little words, and you'd have a nice little song, you know?
La-la-la, like that?
Sure, go ahead. Try it.
Okay, let's see. La-la-la-la, lemon. La-la-la-la, light bulb.
Uh-huh.
La-la-la-la, lamppost. This is fun. La-la-la-la, lump in my oatmeal.
Well, that's not quite what I was thinking about, Bert.
No?
I mean, there are a lot of pretty L words, and I was sort of thinking of the ones that are more belting and lovely. You know, like la, 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 laughter.
Oh, yeah, I see.
La, 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 lullaby.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Emily Woodbury. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, it's Horticulture Day. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.